One of the things we've learned is that every church leader wants to have a bigger reach on social media, but a lot of pastors aren't sure how to make that happen. Well, in today's episode, we talk about 7 tips to help your church get more followers on Facebook. We hope this conversation helps you reach more people and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 61. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me, as always, is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, not too much, man. Excited for our conversation here today. We'll be talking about how to get more Facebook likes for your church. I think that's an important topic. I think every pastor wants that. They want to have more people like them on Facebook. And I want to, I guess, take a minute to camp out here a little bit as to why this is an important thing. For a lot of people, Facebook likes, I think for us personally, it's kind of a vanity thing, right? For in some cases, like, it makes you feel good about yourself. There's been studies that show that you get a little dopamine hit every time someone clicks like on you or your Facebook or your one of your pictures. It makes you feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
But that's not the reason why churches need to get more likes. It's not for their own pastor's ego or communications person's ego. It's about something bigger than that, right?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, not you don't want to be said, my pastor has 2,000 more likes than your pastor. So, but wouldn't be very humble, right? So,
because really what it is for the way we think about it is it's about reach. It's about how many people you're able to influence, how many people are being impacted with the messages you have on there, with the gospel is what it is all about really for us. So, I think that's what it's about is that we want to see churches have more Facebook likes because it allows them to reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And we think if we do it right, more people might be in heaven. I'm not particularly a fan of Facebook. I think this message is going to be ambivalent towards the ethics of Facebook and whether it's something that churches should be using it, but whether it's long-term healthy for individuals to use or not, I kind of think maybe it isn't. But at the same time, I think it's something that it's a tool that we have, and it's a platform that we probably ought to be on because most of our people in our country and in the world are on this platform. So we think it's important.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's so funny. You remember when Facebook came out, you and I are old enough to remember when Facebook first came on the scene.
Yeah.
And right out of the gate, I thought this was a funny topic for today, but it's a good one, still relevant. But right out of the gate when Facebook was born, and then when churches started using it, it was really all about how many likes you can get. You would ask everyone, and you still do, but you'd say, go like my page. Like my page. I had a brief stint in real estate and I was, I made myself a you know, real estate Facebook page. I was like, oh, please give me likes. Look, give me likes, you know? So, but that is still relevant, but I just remember it's funny when Facebook first was born, that was like the main thing that an organization, not so much a person, even though people would say, how many friends do you have? Right.
Right.
And you'd, oh, I have 500. You only have 250.
Yeah.
So,
loser?
It's still very relevant for churches, even though it's been a thing for a while.
Yeah, I think that the thing, and we'll talk about this more in one of our points here later today, but I think the thing we need to remember is that not all likes are the same. And and there's a lot of cases where a like is actually a bad thing. Like a like doesn't help you at all. And if it's the wrong kind of person or worse, a bot that's liking it, then it actually hurts you in the long run. There's a lot to this and not all likes are the same. But in general, if people do like to engage with your content, it's good if they like your Facebook page because it expands your reach and it helps you to kind of build in that that way. So we will be talking mostly about Facebook today. I think that there we'll probably have other episodes where we get into how to get more follows on Twitter and how to get more followers on Instagram. And the strategies are a little bit different for each channel. But we figured the first one to start with would be Facebook because our audience, our audience does trend a little bit on the younger side. They still have Facebook accounts, and it is far and away still the largest social network. Even though it's not as cool as some of things like it's the Gen X social network, I would say. Instagram is the millennial social network, and I don't know, TikTok is probably the Gen Z social network right now. Who knows what that'll wind up being in the future there? So I think that it's just important to know that the key is not just getting any like though; it's about getting the right kinds of likes. So let me start us off though. The first one is seems actually kind of simple, but build a complete Facebook page. That's something that every church needs to do. A couple of things just to mention about this. First of all, once in a while, I still encounter churches that have a personal Facebook page and not an organizational Facebook page. So they have a Facebook, they have a profile. So it's they've accidentally set up their church because it used to be that there wasn't a distinction between businesses and people or organizations and people. So they probably set up their church as a personal account a long time ago and they stayed with it. And there's a temptation some churches I've talked to that have that they want to keep that because you have actually a much larger reach as an individual or a profile than you do as a business. You probably noticed this if you're leading a church. You'll notice that when you put something on your personal Facebook page, you get way more response and engagement on it than if you put it on your church page, if you're running two different kinds of pages. So there's a temptation towards that, but it's important that you build a Facebook page that is specifically an organization, and then you take the time to actually fill out all the information that's in there. There's so many little things that it asks for, and sometimes churches just kind of flub that and skip it. So I don't know, maybe you could talk a little bit about some of those, the different information it looks for. What do you have to add to that, Ian?
And I think it's funny too, because you reminded me of whenever I set up my Facebook profile, I didn't want to, I was like, okay, I want to be done with this already. I just want to get it set up. And so you do skip over all of the information. I remember it still has like some old, like you have your favorite movies or something you put in there, and it still has like, these are like way out of date now.
What was your favorite movie on there? What did you put on?
Well, of course, it was Passion of the Christ. And I'm kidding. That was one in there. That was one in there. And then Braveheart and all of that. So, anyway, it's very important. So your website address is going to be important to put in there. Fill out the About section fully. Because there's a lot of detail in that, if I remember correctly. And then, of course, service times, hours, and it really should be all stuff that a church would be able to easily answer. They just need to take the time to sit down and do it step by step.
For the times, it has every day, it has the hours, you know, so you put your office hours in there, you put your service times in there, and put in all of that kind of content. You link up all of your other social media accounts, so it'll ask you on there what your Instagram and Twitter, and use your LinkedIn and all those. Any place you have a profile, make sure to put it in there and put a link to it. So it all kind of helps in building that out. So take the time. It shouldn't take more than 30 minutes probably, but actually build out that whole page, get all that content in there. And that actually helps their algorithms better categorize who you are. So get this. So the way that it would work is if someone is searching for content on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, and Facebook is smart enough to know that, oh, your service, it starts at 10:30 a.m. Let's go ahead and show this content or this Facebook page to this person. And so there's really a lot you have to gain by getting all of that content in there. It just kind of helps the algorithm better categorize you, and it shows you to the right kind of people, maybe people that are in your area, people that have an interest in the things that you talk about on your platform. And it doesn't show your content to people that live on the other side of the world because it helps them to kind of figure out who you are as an organization that way. So it really only helps you to get that content in there.
That's good stuff. good cool. stuff. I'll tackle the next one here, and that's this is a good one. I like this one. Use amazing photography.
Yeah.
So not just photos, amazing photos.
Yeah.
And so we consult churches day in and day out to do this on their website. Same thing holds true on any social media platform you're using, and maybe though even though Instagram's a little bit more photo driven, still Facebook is.
Absolutely.
You know, so definitely, and we're not just talking. We are talking about your profile and header and background image. So do a good job of those things. Make those things compelling. But also, we're talking about having photos that you post regularly there that are people. The way we describe it, right, is living out the values of your church, right?
Yeah.
So this could be Sunday morning experiences, you know, showing worship, a baptism happening. Maybe it's the youth event that just happened. Let's get really good images and candid photos in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not just a couple of photos that were just taken on the fly. I mean, these are it's worth it to try to make these as engaging and as professional as possible, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think that this is something that we talk about in, I don't know, maybe a third of the podcast episodes is photography. We talk about that.
Yeah.
This really is a currency for churches in 2021. Photography is so valuable. I actually think that every church, that should be a position that you try to fill in your church.
Yeah.
Paid or not, I don't, you know, you decide whether your church has the budget or the personnel for something like that. But it, just as important, I think, is having a someone who's in charge of greeters and someone who's maybe not, like, I don't want to get into ranking all these things, but having a church photographer, that is something that is really important. Someone that knows that my job, whenever I'm at a church service, maybe not every time, but regularly, at least on a monthly basis, is to adding a new crop of photos to different events and things that are happening there. So super important. You got it right. People caught in the act doing the values of your church. I think candids are always really important there.
Yeah.
But these things, we say this all the time in our consulting calls, that these projects rise and fall on the photography.
Yeah.
We cannot build good websites if someone gives us terrible photography. We certainly can't do it with stock photography. I mean, we could make it look okay, but it's not gonna reflect who you are as a church there. So you need to have real people from your church. You need good photography. This is a currency that churches have now. So I want to take a second to talk specifically about the two images that you need to focus on. Number one is that profile image. For most churches, that's not going to be a photo. That I don't want you to have a picture of your pastor there. I don't want you to have a picture of your church building there. It should be your logo is what goes there. That's what goes in your profile image. But then the other one is your cover image, or like the background image when you first get on there. We have those on our personal accounts. You can look up the sizing requirements online for that. Make sure you actually do an image that is the exact right size. Scale it in there. This should usually be some kind of a congregational photo. I don't want a big picture of the building. That's not usually what you should have there again.
Or everyone lined up in front of it, staring into the camera.
Right. Everybody with their thumbs up there, that kind of stuff. So I think usually it's a picture. I think people, again, engaged in service or work at your church or worshiping the Lord, some kind of an action shot of a large group of people actually experiencing the benefit of being a part of what your church is all about there.
That's
so
a good way to put
that's
it.
The kind of photography that we're looking for in that.
Yeah. And one last thing I'll add to that is just that, you know, the more of this that you do and have quality photos, the more you're going to actually get people liking them and commenting on them too.
Yeah.
So, and of course getting more likes on your page.
Yeah.
So
engagement
like
really
about.
Is the key to getting likes. So the more that you engage with people, they're going to say, you know what? I've been engaging with these guys a lot. Let's like that. Then we'll see more of their content. That'll be a good thing. So
that's good.
All right. Number three, it's choose the right name. This seems so basic, but I can't tell you how often we see a couple of mistakes in this category. So let's say that you are First Baptist Church of Waxahachie, Texas, or wherever you are there. So is that how do you say that place?
They say Waxahachie.
Waxahachie. Okay. So, I haven't been in Texas for too long. You're in Waxahachie, Texas.
I mispronounced, when I came down to see you in Honolulu, I mispronounced all of the Hawaiian names. So,
yeah, all of them. That is for sure. Yeah. And there is a First Baptist Church of Waxahachie, Texas. So if you guys are, we'll give you guys a coupon code for a discount on our services because they're mentioning you in in our podcast here if you guys catch it. So if any of our audience knows someone there, let them know. But First Baptist Church, Waxahachie, Texas, that's not a good Facebook name. You should not put the name of your organization on there the way it appears as First Baptist Church of Waxahachie, Texas, all spelled out in that way. It probably should be something. The rule of thumb we use is whatever you refer to yourselves as in your announcements, that's what you should put as your Facebook name there. So if you get up there and you say, hey, it's a great day at First Waxahachie, or if you get up there and say, hey, it's a great day at FBC, probably not a good idea to do that, but just in general.
At
First Baptist, whatever you would say, that should be what your name is on your Facebook page. So whatever people refer to you as is another way to think of it. If people call you something specifically, that's what you should be using there. So getting that name right, but also it's important to make sure you get your handle right. So which is your, whatever your, you know, your URL at the end of your address there. So it's facebook.com/ whatever your name is. You don't want that to be first-baptist-church-waxahachie-texas. You don't want it to be all that, right? So you want something, the rule of thumb here is you want it to be something that's consistent. You want it to be something that is the same, ideally, in all of your social media platforms. So if it's FBC Waxahachie, it should be that there for Facebook. If you can get it for Twitter, if you can get it for LinkedIn, if you can get it for YouTube, you want it to be the same across all of your platforms. That just helps with search engine traffic and some of those kinds of things. So that's a couple of ideas. You have anything to add to that, Ian?
No, not much. It's the same thing when you think about your church domain name for your website, right? You want to just have that short, simple, consistent, not dashes in there and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah,
so,
avoid numbers, avoid dashes. And, you know, this is a hard one when you have long names, but in general, I'd say avoid abbreviations. You know, it's one thing in your handle, like so, I wouldn't put FBC as my name, because Lord knows we have enough abbreviations in the church already, right? Like, I don't know. It's always a constant battle trying to stop us from abbreviating things. So I always had to tell my church staff, we called them Journey Community Groups, and we would get up there and people would do announcements and they'd say, come to one of our JCGs. And it's just like, like someone who's new here doesn't know what that is.
Right.
Like, what is a JCG? Yeah. So I know it's longer, say Journey Community, or just say Community Groups. That's fine too. But just, you know, make sure, you talk about things the way people at your church do.
That's it. That's it. Yep. And I'll get the next one here for it. That include links to your Facebook page everywhere.
Yep.
So this is often sometimes forgotten. I mean, this should be, you should be sending people there, just like you want to send traffic to your website and so on. You should have it in your, email signature. It should be on your website, of course. You should still have, even though, you know, one of the rules to websites is you want to keep people there.
Yeah.
You still want to reference a link and have a link to where they could go out. Maybe it's in the footer of your website to where they can go to your Facebook page. You want to put these in numerous different places on other social media channels.
Yep.
But again, the whole idea with this is that the more it's in my email signature, we have a Reach Right Facebook page. And, you know, if someone wants to go follow us there, then so be it. We want to make sure that they follow us there. That might be their preferred social media platform. So put it wherever you can, and link as many people to it as you can.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You want to link to your social platform, your Facebook page, everywhere you have a presence. So I'll take a second to address what you were talking about with the website. What we're saying is having a link on your website to your Facebook profile, your Facebook page for your church, that is good. I think what we used to see quite a bit is that churches would want to push all kinds of content over to Facebook, which is bad. So if like you shouldn't have one of the main images on your homepage say, follow us on Facebook when someone first gets on there so that they click off and go to Facebook, because that takes them off your site, hurts you on search engines. You don't have control over that audience anymore. So don't ever do that. But I think it's appropriate that you have it usually in the footer. You'll have a link or maybe a social icon for all your social channels. So absolutely link there. But don't make the mistake of doing it everywhere. But yeah, I think you said it right. Every place you have a presence, you probably ought to do that. So do we have it? We have it in our email signatures, right? Is that something? I know I do on mine. Yeah, so it's Facebook because it's the chief one. But yeah, you have it on yours too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one for churches to do. I think it's an easy, have your website too, you know, have a link to your church's website. But yeah, don't neglect email signatures. That's one of the ways that you interact with people the most, and just a great place to do it.
Yeah, good stuff.
Cool. All right, I'm up. I think next one is post consistently. This is something that we talked about quite a bit last week, but I think it bears repeating, is that if you have the plan when it comes to your social media posting schedule, where you say to yourself, I'm going to post whenever I think of something interesting to post, what you'll find is that you wind up never posting, or you'll post nowhere near enough. That's kind of how I treat my Facebook posting personally, is that I'll do it when I get around to it. I don't have a personal schedule. I'm going to make a point to post on Facebook every single day. But when it comes to your church and your church page, I think it is important. We've decided, and kind of the research shows us, that once a day is about the right number to do there. But posting daily and having a plan for that is really important. We did a whole episode last week about having scheduling out what post to do every day of the week. You can use some of them. You can use all of them. That's free for you guys to use there. But that was a great episode and a good conversation we had last week there. But just being consistent is important. Maybe you can talk a little bit about why consistency matters, Ian.
Yeah, so I think why that matters is, I think that leads transitions to the next point, which is to engage people, you know, consistently.
Yeah.
So that's a big word. So this word engagement, actually, I'm actually really excited to go over this point, because I was just reading a Carrie Newhoff article here a little while back that churches in the post-pandemic, the churches that, you know, want to continue to grow, they need to focus on engagement more than just getting people to attend.
Right.
So when the pandemic hit, this word, all of the church marketing experts like Carrie Newhoff and others, and we realized it too with everything that we were doing with serving churches and consulting them on, is that, hey, it's about keeping people engaged. Yes, we want them to show up. Yes, we want them to show up on Sunday. We want them to come worship with us. It's still good to track attendance, I believe. But this engagement word here is that not only just posting something, like you said, why is it important to post? That's so that you can engage people, so you can communicate with them, that they can stay, you know, involved with what you're doing. So in other words, if they comment on something that you posted, or a photo or whatever, you need to comment back.
Yes.
So don't let that comment just sit there. You need to comment back. And there's a lot of reasons for this. And I know you'll go into some of the algorithms and what Facebook sees there when they're seeing that type of commenting and engagement and all of that. But I think it's just, this is why we're doing this, right? So the reason why your church is getting a Facebook page set up is to engage people and to attract people. So I think that's really important, is that look at this. This is an opportunity for you to communicate with people. And it doesn't mean you got to be on there all day. Like we said, if you're only posting once a day or something like that, you know, it's just following up with it periodically. And, and a comment doesn't have to be answered right away immediately or anything like that. So, very important to make sure you're engaging with people consistently.
I think that's right. I think one of the mistakes that I hear people make, or kind of their mistaken thinking, I hear this with this, is that they take a look at some of the biggest social media people out there, you know, the Instagram celebrities and those kinds of people, and they say, well, hey, you know, Selena Gomez doesn't get in there and comment on every single comment that she gets on there. And Justin Bieber doesn't do that kind of stuff. So, you know, it kind of gives them that air of coolness if they kind of let people comment, but they don't say anything in return.
Yeah.
You aren't Selena Gomez and you aren't Justin Bieber. You know, you are First Baptist Church Waxahachie. Again, comment and you'll get a discount on something we do here if that's you guys. If that's you, if that's what you guys are actually doing, you need to engage with people. You don't have, I mean, it might be different. Again, we don't get the chance to consult people very often that have 5 million followers on social media platforms. And so maybe we'd think about the science behind that or the algorithms a little bit differently there. But when it comes to your Facebook account where you have, 800 followers or 100, hopefully this is helpful for any church that has under 100,000 followers. I think this is a good rule of thumb is that if someone is engaging you, remember they are a real person. That bots aren't usually getting on to you unless you're paying them. They're not getting on to these channels to comment on your stuff here. So these are real people with real souls and they have real concerns, and you can actually make a difference in their life if they know that someone is actually engaging with them. It puts the social in social media when you do those kinds of things there. So this is really the secret sauce, is that every time someone ever comments, unless it's one of those like really, a negative, like a trolling comment, just delete those if you can, get them off your page that way. If someone has any kind of a comment, even if it's like a little bit of a slight disagreement or something, like, so let's say you put up your message clip Monday where you had one little point and someone says, hey, you know, but the scripture says this too. What do we do about that? That's okay. Engage with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things are great to build conversation. And here's one of the tricks we've learned too, is that when you engage, always ask a follow-up question to it. Because even better than engaging once, like even if someone just says great message, you know, engage with them and say, I'm so glad you liked it, Patricia. Yeah. What was your favorite part? Or, you know, what stuck out to you? Just continue with the question so that the conversation can keep going. When someone responds and they get a response, they're much more likely to continue engaging and more people are likely to jump in. And then Anne is going to come in and start commenting on how she liked that part too. And it kind of builds momentum on that. So always respond and always respond with another question.
Yeah, it's good. Shows that you care too. That's what we're supposed to do as believers and followers too. So
that's it. Well, good. Let me finish up with this last one, and we'll probably camp out here a little bit longer because this is maybe a controversial one for some churches. But number 7 is pay for likes. Pay for people to like your church on Facebook. I have done this, and I've done this the right way, and I've done it the wrong way, and I hope that people can learn from my experience on this. So I want to put this out here as kind of a learning thing, but you have the option to pay for people to like. So I'll get a little bit into how Facebook advertising works. So there are lots of different ways you can advertise on Facebook and lots of different goals you can set. One of those is you can pay for people to actually click like on your organization so that you can engage them more in the future. And a long time ago, back in the stone ages of Facebook, I'd say like 2015 or so, or before that, when you paid for likes, then there was a totally different algorithm right then. So when you would publish a post, everybody would see it. Like, so it wouldn't be like they didn't have these algorithms that kind of suppressed like church or organization posts, that you would be on an equal footing to someone. And it was more of a time-based algorithm. So the more recent you posted something, the more likely someone was to see it. So marketers were laying into this and they were paying lots of money for ads because they realized that if I paid for someone to like my Facebook page, well, that's really someone that I can reach for free in the future by just creating more content. That world doesn't exist anymore. So now we have a much more complicated algorithm that we have to work with. But in some cases, it does make sense to pay for someone to like your church Facebook page. And so let me talk a little bit about what that is and what you shouldn't do. First of all, don't under any circumstances pay for a company outside of Facebook to get you likes on Facebook. There are many ways you can go on to Fiverr or lots of sites where people will say, I can get you 1,000 Facebook likes in 24 hours for $20. And that might be tempting, but what you'll actually, and that is kind of a vanity play. Like if your main goal is just to say, hey, look at how many Facebook likes we have as an organization, well then, you know, that might be something that you, it might be something that you can consider. But I don't recommend any church does something like that unless you have a totally different social media strategy of just looking really cool with those likes. So, so don't pay. The reason for that is because what that gets you is primarily bots that are going to be signing up, and they're going to be some of these bots are sophisticated and will hit like on your posts and everything, but they're not actual engagement. And Facebook, what happens is if you're paying for people to like your Facebook page that don't in the future engage, what that does is it brings your ratio down. So what the algorithm does, and I don't want to get too technical, but what it does is it looks at your post. Let's say you do it your message Monday again, and it looks at what percentage of the people that it's shown it to so far have interacted, commented, shared, done those things with it. And if you've paid for a bot, they are almost always going to have zero interaction with any posts that you ever do in the future. So what that's going to say to the Facebook algorithm is it's going to say that of all the people we show this to, the bots specifically, none of them are clicking on this and none of them are engaging. Yeah. So let's stop showing this to everybody right away. Let's reduce the number of people we're showing this to.
Yeah.
So that's actually going to hurt all the people that are actually local there, maybe people you can really engage with. So it is always a bad idea to do that. It's also a bad idea to be trying to get Facebook likes that you pay for on Facebook to people that won't engage with your content. So maybe you're thinking, you know what? I'm going to pay to have people that are Muslim see my Facebook page. I want Muslims to like my Facebook page more because you kind of have a great commission bent and you think that that's something that, I'm all for that. I want Muslims to come to know Jesus. We are, we're evangelical Christians, you and I. And so that's something we believe in, but that's not the right way to do it, because what that does is it's that Muslims, they're much less likely to engage with your content in the future than people that know Jesus or are, maybe they had an experience with Jesus in their life. So it's going to reduce the amount of interaction you have with other people that are actually interested in your content. I love the thinking. I love the way that people think about that stuff, but that's not going to help you in the long run. And this may seem so weird as especially for evangelical churches, but you want to you want to preach to the choir, so to speak, right? So I know that you know that might seem strange because it might feel like you're taking from other churches or that don't assume that everybody that's a Christian has a good church home that they're a part of, but it is important that when you target, when you're paying for likes, that you're targeting people that are very, very specific. It's not worth your money to pay for likes that can't drive to your church if you're a normal church meeting in a physical location right now. It doesn't pay for people out of state to be liking your page because they're not going to be able to engage with your content as often. The only people you want to engage with are people that have a high likelihood of engaging with your content in the future there. So
it's good.
Usually that means people that are within about a 5-mile radius of your church, and it's people that have similar interests to people that are members of your church. So what I would recommend for most churches is that you would build what's called a lookalike audience. And what that is it Facebook has a smart enough algorithm where you could take all the people in your church and all their email addresses. So let's say you have a church of 200 people and on your mailing list, you have 250 email addresses. You take all of those email addresses, you load them into Facebook, and then Facebook, they build basically, they take a look at those 250 people and they say, what do these people all have in common? What are they like? What are their interests? What are they clicking like on? What are they clicking that they care for? They have this very complex algorithm that none of us truly can understand the details of it.
Yeah.
It's built by AI, and it's kind of it's self-aware. It's kind of learning about things, and it's building on itself all the time. So we can't tell you exactly what it is, but know that it's smart, and it can pretty much pinpoint the people that are in your church, who in your community is most like them. So it'll basically build a profile of people in the country, about 1% of them that are most like the people who are in your church. And then you limit that down to like 5 or 10 miles around your church. And you have a really specific audience of people that you want to be targeting. And they might be worth spending some money to pay for likes on those kinds of things. So anyway, that was kind of a long, detailed I hope that was helpful to you guys. If you have any questions on that part, please add it in the comments. We're happy to answer anything from our knowledge on that kind of stuff there. Do you have anything to add about that? I don't know. Let me ask you this, Ian. Do a lot of our clients, I know you interact with them a lot more, do a lot of them pay for likes? Do you hear that a lot?
I don't hear it, but it's not something that I ask the question about. So maybe there's more than I know. I don't hear about churches doing that too often.
Most of them pay for ads, right? They're doing some kind of ads on Facebook.
More of. Yes. Right. So that feedback I hear a lot more of, but not paying for likes specifically. So, so that's a good question. I think that was very helpful, Thomas. I mean, what I would just add to that is I agree with you that at first glance, it sounds productive or intuitive to an evangelical pastor to like try to reach the same people, right? Because then pastors always think of how they don't want transfer growth, like you said, from other churches. But this is beneficial because of you're doing it to where it fits within these parameters that will ultimately benefit you and actually help you reach new people that need a church home.
Yeah.
But it's the way that you kind of have to go about it because of the way that things are set up. So,
And I think that in this season right now, there are a lot of people that are in transition due to COVID, and there's lots of churches that, I have mixed feelings about this, so I can definitely understand the check that we have maybe in our hearts about saying this, but there's lots of people that are unable to engage with their church because they have to stay home, or they're quarantined, or their church doesn't, they want to wear masks, or they don't want to wear masks, and their church has the opposite opinion on that, or there's so much of this happening right now that people will welcome a place that they can connect and grow and have some kind of engagement online. And again, if you think about it as a tool to get people to come on Sundays, I think you're probably thinking about Facebook and really all social media the wrong way. Like you were mentioning with that idea about engagement, engaging is what we're trying to do. So turning everybody that gets onto our Facebook page and likes us into someone that's a member of our church and comes consistently on Sunday, that might not be the goal that you should have for your Facebook account for your church. But engaging with people and giving them the gospel and helping to disciple them and helping them to make choices that make them look more like Jesus, that really is the end goal with all of these kinds of things. So I hope that hope that's what we're thinking with that. Anything to add as we close up?
Engagement equals people taking next steps of some sort. Yeah. And that's what we need. We need to keep people engaged. And like you said, it's not all about showing up. Some of these people that are engaged will, but some of them may just continue to follow you online. And then their friend sees them comment on your Facebook page. And then their friend is in a time of need or finding a church. It benefits you in the long run. So,
yeah. And as someone who's pastor, we've heard so many of those kinds of stories over the years of just how, and this is just the way it's always been, even before social media, there's always amazing testimonies of how it seems like such a one in a million kind of a thing, but God calls people to himself. And so, again, this is just something that what we're trying to do is align ourselves to be in a place where the Holy Spirit can even use us to make an impact in people's lives there. So that's what it's all about for us. I hope this has been helpful. It's something that I think most churches want. A lot of church leaders don't know how to make it happen. So hopefully this has given you some ammo to bring to your team and start to build out a more healthy Facebook presence. If it has been helpful, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, subscribe, but especially comment. That would mean a lot to us. We'd love to kind of dialogue and interact. We promise, like we said in this, we will respond to all comments. We won't leave them hanging there. We want to engage with you guys, with our audience there. So if you have any questions on this here, we want to be a help to churches. That's really what we're about first and foremost at ReachRight. We're a business, but we exist to help churches thrive and to help churches reach people the right way. So if we can be a help to you just on a commenting level, Ian and I, we're on there on our Facebook pages and all of our social channels. So chime in on there. We'd love to have a dialogue with you guys. So, but that's it for this week. Thanks guys for watching, and we'll catch you next week.
See you.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.